Welcome to an audio stream from San Marino Community Church, featuring our own pastoral staff and various guest speakers.
You know what brings me joy? Being able to, on sometime mid-November, I don't know what you guys get to do, but mid-November we get to start singing Christmas carols, right? And it's not just the Christmas carols that bring me joy, but it's what the message is behind them. Although I was in Romans a couple of weeks ago on my way to my new favorite section, the children's section, but I passed by the bestsellers and the new authors, and I was picking up Father G's newest book, Barking at the Choir. I'm on like a so already off of. Barking at the Choir is happening, and it's already in bookstores, and I picked up my coffee, and I'm going to start reading it on December 25th, because that's when I have a little bit more free time in my world. So if you want to start reading it with me, I'm going to start next week, and I'd love to read it with you. Anyway, I was on my way to other things, and I overheard a couple of gentlemen, and they were talking about the music that was playing on the loudspeaker. Of course it was Christmas music in a bookstore. But one of them started talking about how they just found such lacklusterness in Christmas music. And I thought, okay, well, point taken. Some people like Christmas music, some don't. And as I was overhearing their conversation a little bit more, I was thinking, well, maybe he really doesn't like Christmas music. And it seemed like he didn't. Because to be honest, some Christmas music is all about having a holly jolly Christmas. And some of that Christmas music just leaves a little bit to be desired. We know that there's some Christmas hymns. Some Christmas hymns that can combat the fires that are going on right now. The earthquakes that have been happening. This year has been hard. Floods, hurricanes, disaster. And that's just what's been going on in the world. What's been going on in your own lives? I can only imagine that, yeah, have a holly jolly Christmas, or I wish you a Merry Christmas, or I've been dreaming of a white Christmas, just doesn't quite hit it. But there are songs. Some of the songs we even sang this morning, and I love how Jenny and the Virginia Road Band bring new life to songs that I have sung so many years, and the words become meaningless because I'm just so caught up in the tune. But with these different tunes, a little twist, the words become new. So it's been a hard year, yeah? Personally, it's been a hard year in the world. But we find ourselves here at Christmas time listening to these words, and they can impact us. And I find hope and joy and love and peace in these words, in these wonderful Christmas hymns. And I don't know about you, but the Christmas station that I listen to also has Christian Christmas music on it. Do you guys have those too? I hope so. And it's not just a holly jolly Christmas, but you get to also listen to Do You Hear What I Hear? Or Mary, Did You Know? Speaking of Mary, Did You Know? That's what we're talking about this morning. We've alluded to it a couple of times, but today's scripture verse comes to us, and it's called Mary's Song. Fancy Latin word is the Magnificat. The Magnificat comes to us from the first chapter in Luke. So we haven't gotten very far. And we already know that Mary is betrothed to Joseph. That means that they're engaged. And God has sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. This episode has already happened. And so Mary knows that baby Jesus is going to be born of her. And she's already accepted. She's already said yes. And the words, though they frightened her, she knew what was going to happen. And she knew that it was going to be big. And she knew it was going to be part of a grand master plan. And how? Well, the Holy Spirit would overcome her. Wow, the Holy Spirit is actually going to overcome the entire world. So, once Mary knew that she was already pregnant, she traveled to go visit her cousin, Elizabeth. She was also pregnant with a character that we come fondly to know as John the Baptist. So here we have an older, wiser, pregnant woman, Elizabeth, with John the Baptist. And we have Mary, a very young, maybe naive, but so wise Mary. The older encounters the younger, as we pick up in verse 41. I'm going to start a little bit before it. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped out of her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, and the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken by her Lord." And we have our verse. "My soul magnifies the Lord."
Thank you.
"And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of the heart. And he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made our ancestors, Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. Mary is an amazing character. And I have to say that originally she was painted in kind of a bad light because I grew up having gone to Catholic high school, actually. And I don't know if any of you have any sort of a Catholic background, but Mary is venerated. She is loved and she has lots of statues, and it's an amazing woman that they want to put on a pedestal. And from the outside looking in, you almost think that there's a little bit of idolatry going on. It's not. I'm not bad-mouthing Catholics at all. They just know something that we Protestants maybe haven't caught on to yet. Mary is an amazing woman who should be venerated. There are statues adorning her, but why is she there? To remind us and to provide a little yin and yang for this Jesus character who also comes. The one who proclaims that Jesus is Lord, the first one pretty much, is Mary, his mother. Mary has so much to teach us. Well, the true Mary, the one that I came to know after I got to know my Catholic brothers and sisters a little bit more and they articulated it. And I hope that you understand a little bit more too. I mean, there's actually this extra biblical material that pretty much has Mary just lofted off the ground. It's amazing. Not only was she a virgin when she conceived Jesus, but also they decided to include that her mother, Anne, was also a virgin, so that there was purity throughout the entire family line. These projections of who Mary are loft her up too high. And it's hard for somebody like me to really grab hold of her humanity. Because, I mean, to be honest, a woman who managed to be both a virgin and a mother presented to Christians as God's standard for amazing womanhood is a little bit frustrating to somebody who has to work within the physical constructs. So we honor Mary. She's fair. But yeah, there's some projections of her that are a little high and lofty. But what we want to consider today is how she magnified God. We'll come back to the word magnified a few times today. So think about it as we go on. When Mary had this amazing news come to her, she was shocked. She was in awe, but yet she still believed. She had this upbringing that was amazing. She had this upbringing that taught her who her God was, and she was waiting always for God to act. And at this very moment, God was acting in a big and bold way. We learn about Mary from the pages of the Bible. A couple of places, like we know that she gave birth to a baby boy on a very dirty stable floor. We know that she was the mother of a teenager who had run away, only to find him later. He was at church, of course. And she was the mother of a boy who was able to be at a wedding, and she convinced him to pour a little extra wine. Remember that wedding at Cana? She was also the mother of a wonderful man who wept at the cross as he passed away. She was also the mother who was able to find him at the tomb, risen, and proclaimed that he was risen Lord. So we have these words of the Magnificat that are beloved not by just us, but by Christians worldwide. And we should really resonate with Mary, not just because she's a saint, not just because she's a mother, not just because she's female, and you might not be able to resonate with some of those things, but we can all magnify God. It's our choice whether we magnify God or diminish it. And I think that Mary's radical obedience to God is something that we can catch on to. It's not simply her characteristics, but it's what she does with it. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, there's other English translations that try to grab hold of it a little bit. There's a word glorify. My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul praises God, or my heart rejoices. After all, that's what we're talking about today. My heart rejoices in the Lord. And it's to try to gain clarity to it, but I really think it gets away from it. And the English word magnify really captures what the Greek was trying to get to. Because when you magnify something, now come back to your childhood with me, where you would use a magnifying glass to see that itty-bitty ant on the sidewalk, or you'd use a magnifying glass to take a crinkled leaf, a very dry leaf, and you try to catch it on fire because you try to catch the sun that would go through it, right? What happens when you try to magnify something? You make it bigger. You make it bolder. You encapsulate it. Greater and enlarging God and God's work is what Mary is all about. Bringing focus, bringing light to, not so much that you burn it, but bringing light to what God is doing. And so Mary's song, this first Christmas hymn, isn't something that we sing very often, but actually Jenny and the Virginia Road Band is going to sing it for us a little bit later. What is she bringing light to? She's not just bringing light to the fact that she is so chosen and so amazing for carrying God's son, but she's bringing light to what God has done in the past, what God is doing right then, and what God will do in the future. The promises God makes will change the world. Because the world that we live in today, with these fires and earthquakes, cancer, family relationships that struggle, hardness in travel, disappointing news, or joyful news, the world that we live in today was very similar to the world that they lived in. They were under Roman oppression. They didn't know what to do and how to get out of it. And they only knew that something so powerful, so amazing, would be able to get them out of it. And it turned out to be a baby. And Mary wants to magnify this. She wants to make sure that we all know what God is doing. So listen to the words a little bit, okay? She says, "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Which you can hear in it is that I am great, you could, but there's going to be further generations past that. They think that the world should end right then and there, and there is no hope, and it's going to be awful. Why should I have progeny when this is the world that I am in? But she says, no, something better is coming. Generations will know of these great things. And she also says that God has shown strength with his arm. She's using militaristic language to show that there will be overthrowing. There's also this part that says, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones. Rome had thrones. They're not going to be there forever. And they lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. Oh boy, were they hungry. They were hungry for more than just food. They were hungry for so many things. And he sent the rich away empty. This is a complete changing of everything that the world has. They don't even know what's coming. So I ask you this question. What is your soul magnifying? What is your soul magnifying? What could you be magnifying? Are you magnifying things of this world that are simply to placate you? Are you magnifying things in this world that are perhaps not the best thing that you should be doing? How are you magnifying for someone else? Who are you magnifying for? For those of us in the room that are parents, especially impressionable teenagers, you'll get this. Whatever you do, they do, right? Where did you learn to do something like that? Try holding up a mirror, and that's what you'll learn. So the big question is, what are we magnifying, and who are we magnifying for? One of my biggest things is I'm always excited about having children be in worship with us, because you can have this visual representation of you sitting next to your child, and your child sees what? Your child sees you praying. Your child sees you worshiping. Your child sees that this is an important thing. It happens the same thing in the classroom. This is one of the big lures that the teachers always say, please come be a part of the classroom. And the kids, especially the preschoolers that go to our school here, they're so excited. Like, my mommy is bringing snack today, or my mom and dad, my grandma is the special helper today. And they are so filled with joy because they know it's so important to magnify what for your children. To magnify what for your family? To magnify what? That dinner table conversation that you're going to have during Christmas? What are you going to magnify? Pop culture? Perhaps something that wouldn't necessarily come out of you? And so we learn from Mary. She's got this amazing testament to what could be. I'm sure there were grumblings around. It's not a great place to live. Nothing's ever going to happen. It's not a great place to be. And she could have magnified that, but instead she chose to magnify the glory that God is here and coming and being a part of it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, the focus that we have in our life, it seems to be absurd as we watch the world around us. But we need to focus and magnify you, not this world. All the things that we have lost, let us know that we have gained so much more in you. All the love lost, know that we have learned so much from you. And like a magnifying glass illuminates what's in front of us, let us always point to a single point of brightness, you. In your name we pray, amen.